You might have heard advertised at the store, two for the price of one. Like, by the help of the Lord this morning, felt the burden to continue on and add a little bit to what we've heard this morning. I'd like to take a little trip down memory lane for just a little bit. Brother Dan talked about the first camp meeting. There's been a lot of changes have taken place on these physical grounds. There have been a lot of saints and a lot of ministers that have passed by the way of these grounds. And we have all been blessed by their sacrifice and their labors and their love. The National Camp Meeting, just to give a little bit more history, this National Camp Meeting was first announced in 1937. And it was because there was a desire of the saints, after some of the compromise that had been taking place, there was a desire to have a place that people could come together and be in fellowship and not feel so scattered. You know, we come from some of us come from some pretty small congregations still today. And it's one of the reasons we come to these grounds is that we are part of something bigger. Sometimes we can start feeling a little bit isolated, but we come to these grounds to come collectively into the presence of God. And when we come to Monarch Springs, we come with expectation. When I come to Monarch, I come expecting to be under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But we are aware, and we heard some this morning, that the glory of God does not rest in the physical tabernacle. We thank God for the physical tabernacle, but that's not where the glory rests. The glory of God rests in hearts that are dedicated and consecrated and walking daily with the Lord. And if we still want the glory, and don't we want the glory still this morning? If we still want the glory, we need not hang up our hearts this morning and look with the nostalgia of the past and talk about the past glory as if it's over. But we talk about the past glory to encourage us to know that there is still glory to be had today, not because of this tabernacle, but because of the presence of God in our daily lives throughout the year. And when we come together, we can come with expectation. Now the saints, and I want to read to you part of the announcement of the first National Camp Meeting. The brethren suggested that there be such a meeting where the old-time saints, are we afraid of that word old-time saints today? He said where the old-time saints could come from across the nation and again mix and mingle their voices together in praise to the Lord. Conditions being as they are since the great drift toward the world by the gospel trumpet movement, which we were once affiliated, the saints which teach and live as before such great compromise existed, desire to get together in an old-time camp meeting. We think it is good to arrange for this national camp meeting so the brethren everywhere can come and get acquainted and enjoy the sweet fellowship once again that has been marred, and listen to what it was marred by, somewhat by the actions of compromising preachers and fanatic preachers in the past. It seems good to us to invite all the old-time saints of every race to this meeting. Well, the meeting, the first Monarch National Meeting, was held in 1938, and it lasted for 2 weeks. Now, it was in July, but it wasn't just, they said it would, and I read the history and looked it up and researched it out. And for a while, I'm not sure what year it stopped, but for a number of years, at least for, well, the first decade about, they had a two-week meeting when they came, and it was in July. And you know, it was the same temperatures, it was still hot back then. Well, that meeting was held across the road, as you all know, in the park. And at the time, when they set the tent over there, it was a park. Monarch Springs, named after the Missouri North, for M-O is Missouri and N is North, so Monarch, Missouri North Arkansas Railroad. in those springs over there, that's where the saints drew their water until 1946. So for a number of years, in the morning, that's where they'd go down and they'd get the water from Monarch Springs until in the 46 a well was dug. Well, Brother Dan mentioned change is hard. But you know, change is not necessarily all a bad thing. If there's going to be change, we want change this morning that will take us in the direction of God. We want change that will bring us into closer communion with the Lord. It's not that we don't stay in the, you remember those army tents, those green tents? Some of you all remember. As a boy, I remember stepping over many a rope in a stake. And I remember the firm admonition from my parents coming on the ground is, leave the ropes alone. But you come on the grounds and the ground didn't have all the cabins like they have today. But it was covered with the tents. People had a desire to come and worship the Lord. But to worship Him in spirit and in what? And in truth. Do you know this morning what Brother Dan preached to us? The glory of God will still rest when we worship in spirit and in truth. I don't want to leave behind any of those tenets. But Lord, help us today as we start this meeting. There's been a big change, hasn't there? That we're not leaving off truth. We're not leaving behind the Spirit. Because that's not where the presence of God is not in this. The presence of God is here in our hearts that we heard. Well, you remember those tents that were set up, and my grandfather mentioned how when the train would come by, because the train tracks went right by it, it said it would almost just shut things down. Someone's trying to preach and here comes the train, and it would almost shut the preaching down. In 1939, so let's just take a little trip here, a little journey. In 1939, Brother Stretch, I believe he was from Neosho, he secured a 90-day option on that 4 to 5 acre property down there where the old tabernacle was. And because they just had temporary structure, they had built a dining hall on public lands across the road. And so Brother Stretch, the brethren went to the Guthrie camp meeting, and they told, we've got an option to buy this 4 acres for $500. We believe like the Lord would be pleased with that. I wasn't there, but I dare say not everybody was in agreement. But those at the meeting at Guthrie, they took a vote. And they voted to donate $250 towards that $500. And in the words of history, it said that another consecrated sister offered to loan the National Camp Meeting Committee $250 for a year without interest. So with that $500, that 4 acres was purchased down there. 1940, that old tabernacle was built. At least the main structure of it was built in 1940. 1946, the foundation for what is now our dining hall. It's been around a while, saints. 1946, the foundation of that dining hall and the dorm was poured by Brother Barton and by others. But again, I'm going to quote, because I want you to get the depth of this. However, this is May of 1946. Camp meetings in July. They started pouring a foundation in May. Said, however, on account of lack of labor, funds, and material, the dining hall will not be ready for this year's meeting. So come with the burden. Come with ready to sacrifice that we can provide what's needed to finish the work. Do you know we find ourselves in a situation today, we stand in awe at what has been accomplished. The trustees, those that have been laboring and working, God bless you all for all that you have done. But the work is not yet finished. There were some lacks. That's some of our responsibility, that everybody can pitch in to get something accomplished. But you know, that's not new in 2017. They faced that back there in 1956. Well, 1946 rather. Let's skip forward 10 years. 1956 is when the main bathrooms in the sisters' dorm was constructed. 1956. Now, I know for a fact that there were some differences of opinion on whether to spend hard-earned money on putting in plumbing on the grounds. My great-grandfather, Fred Pruitt, it's told that he just wasn't quite sure about putting in showers because we're only here for 10 days. So I know that there were some differences of opinion. I thank God that the plumbing was put in. Well, today we come on the grounds and the tents are no longer there. I don't have to warn my children about not cutting tent ropes. And that was done as well. But I remember we come here and the campers and the cabins, and God is blessed in that. But one of my memories, as I know many of your all's memories are, I think back to the sawdust floors. You remember that? Some of y'all remember the sawdust floors there? You know, if the message got a little long, I think a little whittling got done sometimes. Lord help the ministers. But do you know that those sawdust floors on the ground there, those were memories, those were fond memories I have of Monarch. Coming to Monarch Springs and hearing the anointed singing. Do you remember that? Do you remember the anointed singing until you were about just ready to burst because you got a little bit of the glory? You were experiencing a little bit of that presence of God there. Thank God for that. Well, moved on. 1980, and that Brother Dan touched on that. The rest of the some more foundations were poured. 1980, that foundation was poured underneath the tabernacle. So gone were the sawdust floors in 1980. 56 cubic yards of concrete was poured for a cost of just over a little $3,000. Well, things have changed, haven't they? 1988, handicapped dorm was built. 1996, the family units were built. Now 2017, look where we're at. There's been some change. But do you know what is so vitally important to us as we remember? I remember the presence of God in this place. I remember the glory that we heard about this morning. I remember that. But do you know, I'm so thankful I don't have to just go back and read old Faith and Victory reports. I don't just have to go back and read about, well, when I was a child and there were sawdust floors and the army tents and... Oh no. Do you remember last year? Do you remember some times where the presence of the Lord came down? Why did the Lord do that? It wasn't dependent upon the sawdust on the floor. It wasn't dependent upon the condition of this earthly tabernacle. It was conditioned upon where our hearts were. Brother Dan said, it's an humble heart that God will anoint and give His glory to. You know, the Lord has more desire than ever in this evil generation to still have a people that He can pour out His glory on today. Amen. Well, when I start looking back and listening from the past, I was so thankful this morning when I heard the locusts. We can still have that. Monarch just wouldn't be the same, would it? To hear the locusts and the singing. I remember the tear-stained altars. Remember through the years, people getting up from the altar and you just seeing that. Some have tears coming down their face and others you just see that smile. In some you can just see the peace. I met the Lord here. Do you know the Lord still will meet us at these altars in this new tabernacle as we keep our hearts open, worshiping in spirit and in truth? The anointing of the Lord will be just as rich. It'll be just as true. I remember the testimonies of our spiritual fathers and mothers. I can still hear today Brother Lewis Williams saying, and I don't know, I guess, is this a different pulpit or the same one? But I can still remember Brother Lewis Williams leading the singing. You know, Brother Lewis may have not gotten every note right. And I know it annoyed sometimes those recording to have his fist pounding on the pulpit. But I still remember the inspiration that he had. The love of the songs and how it just drew us in. And then his exhortation to us all was, there's a message in every song. Those messages of these songs we sung, folks, we're not trying to just capture something of the past. These songs that we sing are still relevant today because it's speaking of a divine experience that is in our heart today. So we can say, well, we need to go to the... You know, the songs that just have seven words and you sing it seven times over and over. I want to tell you, those don't minister to the Spirit like these hymns that we have. But it ministers when you've been living the life. And then we come together and maybe you've been in a battle and you've been worshiping in spirit and in truth with you and maybe a few others in your congregation. And across the way, you see other brothers and sisters that have been through some battles. And we can come together in this meeting to pray for one another and support one another and know how God has been dealing with our brothers and sisters across the country. Well, there's been many a friendship made in this place as well. I don't want to see it stop. My best friend, aside from Christ, was made at this meeting. And I wrote a letter to that friend somewhere around 1978 asking her to marry me. I said 1978. I was about 5 years old. And the tears didn't change. I couldn't send it. And it brought some tears to me that Mom and Dad wouldn't let me send that letter to who I'm sitting by over here today. Quite a few years later, I had to grow up a little bit. But you know, it's a good place to come. I know we talk about these grounds as well. It's the spiritual things. It's the spiritual things. But at home, we try to teach our young people and children, be careful about getting too close to the world. And be careful of the friendships and companionships there. What better place to come and know the young people and associate together? There is no better marriage pool than right here at Monarch Springs. You may say, Brother Michael, that's not spiritual. It's not spiritual if you do otherwise. Just because they come here doesn't make a marriage material. But I'll say, we're talking about someone that has this truth, that they have a desire to follow God in spite of what the world's doing. And I won't ask for a show of hands of how many companions were found on these grounds, but I dare say there's a number of friendships that blossomed in this place. So why do we keep coming? I thank God for the breeze this morning, but about 20 minutes in or 30, I thought, I'm starting to get kind of hot. Why do we keep coming? Because we have a purpose. And we have a cause. I want to be filled with the glory of God that we heard about this morning. I want that glory in a greater way. And we come together for some drive hundreds. As a child, we drove close to 2,000 miles every year to be in this place. I don't know if there were any year that this meeting was not held. This would be the 80th year that this national camp meeting's been held. The 80th year today. Well, there's something bigger than us. And what Brother Dan read, and we're not going to take the time to turn and read it all, but you know your Bibles this morning. When the glory of God came down, number one, in the tabernacle, it was after the tabernacle was built according to the plan that God had given. It wasn't up to Moses and Aaron to sit down and have a business meeting as there was with this tabernacle. See, man had some things to do. I don't know if God divinely inspired every little beam in this place. But when the tabernacle of old was built, God told them exactly what to do. To the point of how many curtain rings to put on the curtain rods. I mean, every minute detail God gave to them. And when they built it according to the plan, you remember what happened? The glory of God filled that place. Same thing when Solomon, as he read over in 1 Kings chapter 8, when Solomon built the temple, do you remember how many priests were together and they had instruments, they had trumpets? There were 120 of them. And when they sounded in unison, in one accord, the glory of God came down and filled that place. Well, do you know that Solomon's temple was destroyed? The children of Israel went into captivity and it was destroyed. And then we find that the Lord allowed that temple to be rebuilt. And we read over in the book of Ezra, Ezra 3 in the 10, verses 10 to 12. It said that when the people shouted, they were rejoicing at this new temple that they could worship God. I want to read you what it said about the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men. They had seen the first house. when the foundation was laid before their eyes and they wept with a loud voice. They had remembered the days gone by. They remembered the glory that used to be. They remembered the anointing of the Holy Spirit that used to be there. And when others were rejoicing at the building of this new place, the older ones sat there and wept. And in their minds, it's never going to be the same again. I don't know if anybody here has had those thoughts with the change in this earthly building. But folks, listen to what happened. In the book of Haggai, the question was asked. The second chapter in the third verse. He said, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory?" You remember how it used to be? "And how do you see it now? The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former." Do you know what God was talking about there? He was talking spiritually. The second tabernacle, the second temple, did not even compare to Solomon's temple. Well, we look at the changes that take place, and I'm a pretty nostalgic person. Like to look back in the past, but you know, this morning we don't need to be discouraged because of what we heard this morning. The glory of God will still descend upon people because where is the place of my rest, asked the Spirit. Where is the place of my rest? The scripture in Acts 7 said the Most High dwelleth what? Not in temples made with hands. This is not why we're here. We're here. We want to see what has been done with hands. But the temple of God is now in our hearts. Brother Dan read 1 Corinthians in the third chapter. Folks, your heart. Know ye not that ye are the body of your temple? The body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body. So Lord, would you fill us with your glory? We don't want to depart from that glory. Think about how the glory departed from Israel when the ark was taken. The ark contained the word of God. Folks, it doesn't matter how long we have a national camp meeting at Monarch Springs if we let the word of God depart. And I would that this earthly tabernacle that is here and that these grounds be dedicated and consecrated to the preaching of the word of God, that nothing else is going to be accepted. But the word of God in its truth, in that desire to please God in worship in spirit and truth, because that is where the glory is. That's where the power is. That was the very reason this meeting was started. Because there's been compromise and there's been fanaticism. And Lord, would you help us to stay rooted and grounded in truth that we could still experience the glory of the presence of God in our midst. The glory fell on the day of Pentecost, didn't it? You remember how many were in the upper room? Does that not ring a bell? The 120 priests sounding their trumpets and the glory fell. We need not trumpets this morning. The Lord is not worshipped in a fleshly sense now, but now He's worshipped in spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, there's a type and a shadow there. There were 120 in the upper room in one accord. In the unity that we heard about, that we're blending together, not because we're all so closely tied by family, not because we even have a common church background or common traditions. It ought to be that we are in one accord in spirit and in truth. And when we come together in one accord, the glory of the Lord will still come down and fill this tabernacle. Thank God for that this morning. The glory, folks, is not over. Right. Worshiping in spirit and in truth. Amen. You know all the fundamental principles. Doctrinal principles, relationship principles. Why do we serve the Lord? Because of love. Amen. May it ever be that that is paramount. Yeah. In the ministry and in all of us that come here, that it's paramount is your relationship with love. Amen. If we leave love out of it, folks, we are left with an empty shell. But worshiping the Lord with a heart of love, teaching and practicing, living free from sin, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, experiencing the kingdom of God that is within. It's not meat and drink. It's not the things made with hands. But it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. A ministry. You look back at what a lot of the compromises that took place. And those that wanted to start this meeting, it was because they wanted a haven. Yes, yes. They wanted a place that truth could still be taught. Yes. Those areas, those big areas of compromise, one of them had to do with the ministry. An elevated ministry. May it be that on these grounds, all ministers are equal in the sight of God. All of us, ministers and those that are not, we are all servants of the Lord. One is not greater than another, but we're all servants of the Most High God. One of the principles, we're not reverend, we're not elevated by title or position, but a mutual respect and working together of the Holy Spirit. And yet honoring the places that God gives to each one of us to fill in the body of Christ. Well, another principle was modesty. It had been let go to a large extent. May it ever be that we don't lose that carefulness of lifestyle, folks. It's not just tradition, but Lord, our desire is to walk humbly before you, worshiping in spirit and in truth. I'd like to close with this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, this again points back to where the true glory of the house is. The true glory of the house. Speaking about the church, he said that Christ, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That is the glory that we heard about this morning. That we as a people would be able to still in 2017 present ourselves before the throne of God without spot and without blemish. But folks, I can't make that decision for anybody else but for me. But when you are willing to humble your heart to the Lord and follow Him with all of your heart. Folks, the power and the glory and the anointing and the holiness is not changed or diluted from 1938 or 1880. But we go all the way back and say, Lord, this truth. This is the truth, folks, that when we base our life upon it, the glory of God will still rest in this house and in this house when we come together collectively. In closing, I remember my grandfather, Willie Murphy, challenged us in 1983. He talked about Monarch Springs. And he said then, and it is of a sure now, that those springs don't flow like they used to. I think you do good to probably even see them bubbling up anymore. But used to, it was fresh, but it grew stagnant. Something started covering over those fresh springs. But you know that we need not allow that to happen to the spiritual springs in our life this morning. That we can keep dipping down in the wells of salvation, experiencing that life in the joy of the Lord that He's given to us. As we turn this morning another page in the history book, may it be that we are still seeking for the glory of God. Seeking for the glory of the house. Not the glory, not that which is made out of wood and metal and steel, but the presence of God where He will abide, folks, with every heart that is open and sincere walking in spirit and truth. Thank the Lord for the truth that was given this morning. I'm thankful for how God has blessed us in the past, how He is blessing still today. And folks, God has some greater blessings amongst this people. We talk about all the ministers that have gone, and I look back with fond memories, and I say there'll never be another one like that. No, there won't, but there are some others sitting right amongst us this morning that God still has messages from heaven to give to them, and they're going to be unique in their own way. And may it be that our children, in generations following, can look back and say, do you remember in 2017 when they put up that new tabernacle? But I remember the presence of God. I remember meeting God at this altar. I say, Lord, may this be a consecrated place that the Spirit of God would continually rest and move among us. Amen.